Good morning. Welcome to EMP. Let's pray as we go into today's word. Father, thank you for your presence this morning. Thank you for your word. I pray that it will do what it needs to do in our lives to encourage us and to exhort us and to guide us and lead us in our lives to become more like you. And so, Father, I just pray that as we go into your word today, that you'll speak to us in Jesus' name. Amen. And so, this is now I've been going through a study of just going through every time prayer is mentioned in the book of Acts. And so this is the last time prayer is mentioned in the book of Acts, in chapter 28. And so I want to be reading from that chapter there. And so starting after it says, or actually before I get there, just quick context for that is essentially Paul's been traveling from Jerusalem all the way up to, he traveled up to Jerusalem from his missionary journey, and he's gone through some trials and tribulations in the process. And so he used his right as a Roman citizen to put his case before Caesar. And so he's on his way to Rome, where he then has, where then he's on a shipwreck. And so that's where we're at when we're reading here. Starting with verse 1, it says, after we were brought safely, we then learned that the island was called Malta. The native people showed us unusual kindness, for they kindled a fire and welcomed us all, because it had begun to rain and was cold. And Paul had gathered a bundle of sticks and put them on the fire. A viper came out because of the heat and fastened on his hand. When the native people saw the creature hanging from his hand, they said to one another, no doubt this man is a murderer. Though he has escaped from the sea, justice has not allowed him to live. He, however, shook off the creature into the fire and suffered no harm. They were waiting for him to swell up or suddenly fall dead. But when they had waited a long time and saw no misfortune come to him, they changed their minds and said that he was a god. Now in the neighborhood of that place were lands belonging to the chief man of the island, named Publius, who received us and entertained us and showed hospitality for 3 days. It happened that the father of Publius lay sick with fever and dysentery. And Paul visited him and prayed, and putting his hand on him, healed him. And when this had taken place, the rest of the people on the island who had diseases also came and were cured. They also honored us greatly, and when we were about to sail, they put on board whatever we needed. And so this is the passage for today, and as we read here is that they're on a shipwreck, and Paul had told them that they would survive that night, but they end up on this island called Malta, where there are people there, Gentiles who don't know the gospel. But it says that from the description here from Luke that they received unusual kindness from them, that they kindled a fire for them and welcomed them. Because it had begun to rain and was cold. So you could imagine kind of, maybe you've seen it in a movie, there's a shipwreck, people are like just crawling onto the land. It's like, oh, it must be so cold, it must be so cold, they're all wet, it's uncomfortable. But then you have these, some people here that welcome them, and they help them kindle a fire, which, I don't know if you have ever tried to start a fire, but it is very, very difficult to start a fire from scratch. I've had all the right tools. I've had a lighter. I've had lighter fluid. I had wood, and still failed I started the fire, because how can you not start a fire if you have a lighter and liquid fluid? But I failed to maintain the fire and keep it going throughout. This was for a camping trip. So it's very difficult, honestly, to start a fire and maintain a fire. And so for me, I remember once, actually, when I was camping, I couldn't start a fire, and it took me I was trying for about 2-3 hours. I had everything. I couldn't get it going. And some guy goes, he saw that I had some extra wood, and he's like, hey, you want to trade? I was like, what do you have to offer? He's like, you give me some of your wood, I'll help you start your fire and keep it going for you. I was like, yeah. I was like, for sure. And so he helped me start the fire. So when it says that they showed unusual kindness, and you're thinking, woohoo, he helped them start a fire. That's actually really, really, it's actually really, really helpful in terms of that. So they receive unusual kindness. They're cold. It had been raining. And so Paul had gathered a bundle of sticks. He put them in the fire. And normally, honestly, if you've ever gone camping, no one really ever wants to be the person that gets the bundle of sticks. You really kind of want to be the person that started the fire, not the person that went out to the woods and got the sticks. But here, Paul's the one that goes out there goes out and gets the sticks and to put them on the fire. And it says that in that moment, a viper came out because of the heat and fastened on his hand. So essentially, you can imagine him probably throwing the sticks into the fire, and this viper just comes out of nowhere and just bites it fastened his hands. And it says here that when the people saw that they saw the snake hanging from his hand, they said to one another, no doubt this man is a murderer, though he escaped from the sea, justice has not allowed him to live. So the people there are probably most likely, they're being superstitious. They're like, oh, the sea didn't kill you, but this viper nail probably will. So there must be something bad about this man that this viper would have killed him. He's like, what else? It must be justice. You survived the sea. You shouldn't have survived it. And now this viper is now claiming your life. And so they think it's kind of like a superstitious thing of him having survived the sea. And they're thinking, oh, this guy must be a murderer. So they're thinking that about Paul. And so it says that he, however, just shook off the creature into the fire and suffered no harm. For those that might be weeping for the viper, I'm sorry. It seems that the viper went into the fire And so it says that Paul just shook off the creature from his hand. At that moment, I'm not going to lie, I probably would have let out the loudest scream. I hate snakes. I think my scream would have hit tones that I thought I couldn't hit, some pitches that I thought I couldn't hit. But Paul here just shakes it off, kind of like just any other bug probably. And he throws the bug into the fire. Okay, and so then at that moment, people begin to shift their minds. They're now thinking, wow, this guy, because these people they're native to the land, so they know they're going to know they're going to know everything about that viper. They're going to know how dangerous that viper is, and that this guy right here that is standing here should probably be dying any second now. But nothing happens, and so now these people are thinking, they go from, this guy should have been dead at sea because he didn't die at sea, and so this viper bit him, so he must be someone evil, to all of a sudden they shifted now to, this guy just shook off a viper, he's now a god, okay? So that's just how wavering the people were. They just went from like, he must be a murderer, to, oh no, now he's a god. So it says here now in verse 7, now in the neighborhood of that place were lands belonging to the chief man of the island. And so it seems like it's probably a village area where kind of, I think Hong Kong kind of has that in some village areas where there's like a chief person and start in charge or elders. And so they go to the chief man of the island, and it says that they're received with hospitality for 3 days. Okay, so they're with this chief elder, they're with him for 3 days, they're receiving hospitality. And it says there that that it happened that the father of this chief man lay sick with fever and dysentery. Okay, and so this guy's father is sick, and it says here, and this is a verse that I really wanted to just narrow in and focus, and then wrap it up from there. And it says, and Paul visited and prayed, and putting his hand on him, healed him. Okay, so they're being received with hospitality by this chief man in the island, and this man's father is sick. And it says that Paul visited and prayed, and putting his hands on him, healed him. And this is where I was just began meditating on just how simple and how powerful these words are, and how applicable they could be for our lives. In terms of I'm going to stretch it here, but also just bring it back to really what the scripture is saying is that here in a second. But here I'm just looking at this, and Paul just makes Paul. I don't know. Maybe the guy is telling him, they're sitting down around a fire, and he's like, he's telling him of it. Tell me about your family. He's like, yeah, you know, my mom, son, four. We've been here all our whole life. I was like, oh, wow, where's your father and mother? Oh, my dad. You know, my dad's back at home. He's been sick for a few days at that moment. And I was like, oh, wow, conversation could have been going. Maybe at that moment, he's like, oh, your father's sick. Maybe he goes, hey, do you mind if we go visit him? And I don't know if Paul goes, if the guy goes, oh, the guy goes, oh, for what? And Paul goes, oh, to pray for him. I don't know. I don't know how they end up in that situation. I'm just imagining it of how this is the way my conversation would have been, like, oh, your dad's sick. All right, cool. And that's really just it. But I don't know if Paul initiated the visitation. Obviously, this guy doesn't know who Paul is. He doesn't know Paul's story. And so at this moment, it says, simply just says, Paul visited him and prayed. And I begin to think about that. And I begin to think about the way I've done ministry and the way on mission trips. And one of the things we often do is the church that we show up to, they'll host us. And then more common in rural areas is that they'll just do home visitations as part of their week. They'll be like, oh, this week we're visiting so-and-so. And then they'll start telling you the backstory. It's like, oh, so-and-so hasn't been at church for the last 3 weeks. They've had a fever or someone passed away. So they kind of begin giving you the backstory as you're going to the visitation. And they're like, oh, we're just here to encourage them and to pray for them. And so as I'm reading this and I'm thinking, just how simple a visitation can sometimes do in someone's life. Of just going to their of going to their home or even to their workplace, if you know where they work, and just visiting them and showing up and saying, hey, I haven't seen you for a while, or hey, how have you been? And how much of a difference that could possibly make in that person's life. Especially sometimes with people. Sometimes I think we're stubborn and just thinking, oh, no one's come to me, so I'm going to wait here until someone comes to me, rather than just being the initiator sometimes in our lives and going, okay, this person hasn't been here. Let me go find that person. Let me go visit that person. Let me go see how that person is. And so for me, I just wanted to highlight just the importance of just visitation here, of how it could just be important in someone's life, in someone's season of their life. And granted, I think living in Hong Kong, I think we would most likely see a visitation, probably more of a disturbance in our life, in terms of things. But I think sometimes I know I've shown up to people's homes unannounced. I'll text them. I'll let them know. Context matters here in terms of how we are in the city. I wouldn't want to have traveled 40 minutes and be like, oh, you should have told me I was out with friends. But I think just simply the act of visiting people. And so my question, just as a reflection, is who's maybe God placing in your heart that maybe you haven't seen them, or maybe Maybe God is just nudging you to reach out to them and maybe actually do a physical visitation in their life, whether it be at home or at work. And not really realizing what that may mean, but maybe here is a physical healing that occurs. But sometimes I think people are looking also just for emotional healing, mental healing, or spiritual healing in their lives. And so for me, this question of just visitation and the healing that it can bring in our lives, and just us being the initiator sometimes, because I don't know if this guy invited Paul. Hey, you want to go come see my dad? He's sick. Honestly, I would have been like, oh, I don't have my mask. It's a little contagious. I think that's the way we probably would have responded in today's context. Hey, let me just call him. Let me do it over the phone. But here, there's a physical visitation here where Paul visits the father and prays for him. And there's something to be said about that. On Sunday, we talked about the importance of showing up to church, the physical presence of being here with one another. And one of those things that when we don't show up in person is that we really take away that moment and that opportunity to pray physically with people. And so it says here that he prayed for him, putting his hands on him and healed him. And it says here, moving forward in verse 9, it says, and when this had taken place, the rest of the people on the island who had diseases also came and were cured. And so this moment then brings out a greater moment, in that this moment of Paul visiting this man, being sick, and healing him, all of a sudden everyone else in that area for whatever reason, they might hear is like, hey, did you hear this guy? He prayed for someone and he got healed. I don't know about you, but I'm going to go take my aunt. I'm going to go myself. I've been suffering from this. Let's see if this guy can pray for me. It doesn't say that he shared the gospel. Paul was one of those people that kind of like St. Francis that says, share the gospel and if necessary, use words. In this moment, no. I think, honestly, in terms of Paul, I think he shared the gospel. I think for him, healing was never the ends of anything. I would think it was for him, it was always a means for the gospel to be proclaimed and to be demonstrated. Because one of the things we know about healing throughout Scripture, throughout the Gospels, is that healing was never just the end of something. It was always a means for the gospel to be demonstrated and to be proclaimed. And so I'm pretty sure that Paul would have shared the gospel with these people. And so that's really what as Wesley comes up for, or who's doing worship, as we get ready for a time of worship, that's really where I really just want to just come back in and reflect on that on the visitation, the prayer, and the healing. And like I said, just a moment of reflection of who might that person be, who might God be highlighting in your life in this season, that is, God might just be nudging you to go visit that person. Maybe that person is in the U.S. I'm not saying go fly to the U.S. and visit that person. Maybe it is. I don't know. But maybe it's just calling that person as well. Maybe it's just calling that person, checking up on them, seeing how they're doing, and seeing how you can pray for them. And I like this, that Paul visited him and prayed for him. You know, I've had so many encounters with people that I live with regret that didn't end with prayer. You know, that's one thing that I always get saddened of, like, when I walk away from an opportunity, I was like, and it only hits me until after, where I was like, duh, should have prayed with them. That was it. That was the moment. And so for me, it's just kind of just highlighting, who's someone in your life that God is nudging you to either call or visit them and to incorporate prayer into that visitation. Of just simply saying, maybe you already know specifically what their need is. Or maybe you just simply ask, hey, is there anything I could be praying for you for right now in this season? And then pray for them and believe that God, we serve a God that heals. I know most of us, we've prayed for people and we haven't seen healing in our lives. And so sometimes that becomes a reason for us to stop praying for people to receive healing. But I just want to encourage you here, because here the passage obviously talks about physical healing. And so as believers, I'm not going to ignore this passage. And we have to believe that when we're praying for people that are sick, that we're believing that God heals. Because it's evident throughout the Gospels and throughout the book of Acts that we serve a God who heals physically. And I remember there was a season in my life when I became a Christian and I read, oh, Jesus heals. And I remember I was just praying for everyone. I'd be like, wow, you're sick. Let me pray for you. No one ever got healed during those. I think I may have prayed for over 50 plus people during that time. And I was like, oh, no one got healed. And so I gave up. I honestly gave up and I was like, well, maybe this gift is not for me. I just started reasoning and for whatever reason, I just stopped praying for people that were sick. Until luckily I was able to serve at a church that really believed in that and practicing that as part of their lives. And I was encouraged again to pray for people that were sick. And during that year, I was serving as a youth pastor. I was fortunate enough to just see people get healed just in our mission trips or even our youth service. I remember once we had gone on a mission trip to, I believe this was Mongolia, and some of our youth were praying for one of the girls, and the girl just started bawling, and we're asking her, why are you crying? Why are you crying? And she said, I could hear, and her ear had been open. I'm like, oh wow, this is really happening. And during that season of my life, I was just re-encouraged again to just, hey, if the opportunity comes to pray for someone that is sick, then pray for them. I don't do it all the time. Like I said, there's even now, there are moments where I regret, where I was like, oh man, even right now, there's a moment or two that I'm thinking, oh man, that person had like they were sick and I had I could have just said, hey, can I pray for you for healing? And I missed that moment and I missed that opportunity. And so for me, I would just say, I want to encourage you. Maybe you've been like me, you've just been discouraged that you've prayed for people and you've never seen anyone get healed. I just want to encourage you, keep praying. Keep praying. This is what Scripture teaches us. And so let's combine those three things together, the visitation, the prayer, and let's see what God does and believe that healing is possible in our lives and those around us. And so as we go into a time of worship, sorry, I went longer there than I thought. Let's reflect on that.
Your grace is enough, more than I need. At your word, your Spirit make me new, and I will fall at your feet. I will fall at your feet, and I will worship you here. Your presence in me, Jesus, light the way. By the power of your word, I am restored, I am redeemed. By your Spirit, I am free, and I will fall at your feet. I will Jesus, oh God, lifted on high from death to life, forever our God is glorified, serving in King, rescue the world, this is our
Father, thank you for your word. This morning, I pray that it encourages us in terms of visiting people and praying for them and seeing healing happen. And so, Father, I repent of those moments in my lives where I've been in situations where I could sense your nudge, but just didn't respond to it. And so, Father, I repent of those moments and surrender them to you. And so, Father, I just pray that you lead us and guide us to those people in our lives that you're nudging us to, and that we would just step out in that courage and that obedience and pray, Father, and see what you are doing. And so, Father, we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's go to our community prayer. Let's pray for those that have cancer in this moment. Pray for those that are sick and also in need of an encounter with God. Pray for those that have infirmities. pray for those that have gotten COVID and our frontline medical workers. Pray for those that are looking for jobs in this season. Let's focus on our prayer for Hong Kong. Let's pray for our staff. Pray for our hospitality team. For our worship and sound and AV team. Let's pray for those that are pregnant. Yeah, Father, thank you for your word this morning. I pray that we'd be a people that goes out, reaches out, and prays and brings healing to those around us. And so, Father, I just pray that as we go throughout our day, that you would lead us and guide us, and that we would live by the power of your Holy Spirit in our lives. So, Father, we thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless. See you tomorrow.